Hi there. We're back with another very, very special edition of Conversations with Community Managers. I'm here with my more than capable co-host, Shannon Abram. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Jim. We are very, very excited to be joined today by JJ Lovett from CA Technologies. JJ, we'd love if you could take a minute, introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about where you work and the kind of community that you work with.
Sure, absolutely. My name is JJ Lovett. I'm the Director of Online Communities at CA Technologies, which is a multi-billion dollar a year software development company, the largest ISV in the market. And for about 10 years now, I have been helping cultivate, manage, and grow external collaboration with our customers, partners, and prospects. But we're not limited to external participation. We actually have our fingers all across the board in both internal and external collaborative efforts.
I want to kick us off and just, I'm thinking 10 years. That's incredible that you've been, you know, focused on this at CA for that long. And you and I have chatted about your community journey at CA. And can you tell us a little bit more about what surprised you along the way as you've grown and engaged with the users there at CA?
So probably the first point is that I would still be doing this 10 years later. And to that point, what I really mean by that is, it's been a long road, but we've been trying to do things with a very large company that has a very long history, a long history itself, and then a long history with many of our customers, and trying to get the way people behave and engage in a large corporation has to be seen more like a marathon than a sprint. There are small viral victories, a lot of good things, but I honestly did not think it would take this long to get where we are. That being said, the thing that has surprised me the most is how much we've accomplished. Because you look at the size of the mountain before you, sometimes it's hard to go back and recognize how much you've accomplished along the way with all of the different victories.
You know, it's interesting you talked about how it's taking longer than you thought. When Rachel and I started the Community Roundtable back in 2009, people asked me, you know, what do you think the window is for this technology, this space? And at that time, I said 5 to 10 years. And, you know, here we are 7+ years later. And I'm still saying 5 to 10 years because I'm amazed at the number of companies I talk to who are either in the beginning stages or they are just thinking about adopting social technologies in the enterprise. And it's a big, and you know, you mentioned, you know, the size of your company, but we see even at small companies, the complexity of the challenge to embrace social and transparency and collaboration in the way that can really kind of revolutionize business models. It's a big deal and it takes a lot of time.
You have to get people out of their comfort zone. As you know, we actually just reapproached closing down several listservs, which, you know, by modern standards, most people would think as ancient antiquities. But in reality, because people relied upon them, were comfortable with them, and had them ingrained into their work habits, it's taken us the full 10 years to shut down that form of communication.
Well, and I remember when I talked with you, you know, probably at this point 5 years ago, you had a lot of folks, a lot of end users, a lot of your community members were still working in green screens and you were trying to, you know, bring the community to them. Is that still true?
That is still true. A large portion of our revenue comes from our mainframe portfolio. Even though there are, you know, several GUIs that have been developed for the mainframe, we have a lot of hardcore users that are staying in the workplace longer. They have the domain expertise, you know, they're willing to work longer. And so, you know, they stay in their world in the green screen. So that's one of the reasons for a platform choice that we made for collaboration platforms was the ability to maintain that email connection from a web interface.
That's fascinating. Shannon, I know you've got another question.
Oh, well, I mean, we're having a great conversation. I mean, and this ties back sort of right into the 10 years evolving sort of community team thing, that you have a really impressive team of people who specialize in different things and do different things and service your audience in different ways. We get so many questions about, you know, how do you build a community team? What do you look for? So because you sort of started where you started and you are where you are now with this amazing team, do you have any advice for people that are building out community teams, whether they are, you know, hiring their first new person to join them as a team of two or managing a team of 10 or 15 community pros?
Probably one of the key attributes that I look for is, you know, I go back to the phrase is always be closing, and coffee is for closers. And what I think a lot of people don't realize in this role is that you are, and Jim, you've heard me use the analogy of door-to-door vacuum salesman. If we fast forward a couple of years, it could be an Encyclopedia Britannica salesman. I don't know what is sold door-to-door these days, but there has to be an aspect of sales to this. Mostly because you will spend a very large amount of time evangelizing concepts to get people to that aha moment. And so that's probably one of the first things that I look for as I'm recruiting people in is, do they have the spirit and ability to tell a narrative and help people connect to the solution to their business challenge? And if they have that, then the rest of it is easy.
You know, I don't think people talk enough about narratives. I think that's a pretty powerful way to build community, build teams. Rachel, our co-founder here at the Community Roundtable, talks a lot about narratives when we talk with companies about community building. So it's fascinating that you bring that up. You know, I also remember another, you know, good friend and CR member, Dan Brostek, talks a lot about finding people in the interview process who are willing to help push a boulder up a hill. And I think there's probably a little bit of that involved in your hiring process too.
The task of Sisyphus is one of my favorites. To explain to people.
So our favorite question to ask everyone always, and I bet going back to the 10 years, this has evolved for you, but what is your community superpower?
Well, as was disclosed last year through the handbook and the CR Connect event, and probably no surprise to anyone after mentioning the term 10 years, over and over again in this call, my community superpower is persistence. And that's been, you know, going back to the door-to-door salesman, you know, being able to take no or not now repeatedly and then go back, reframe the narrative in a way that would work for them, resonate for them, get them peaked and then engaged, and literally work team by team across an enterprise size organization to get where we are today.
JJ, if I could just ask kind of a semi-related question. So if someone is working at enterprise today and, you know, trying to sell this up to management, this concept of, you know, building, you know, either employee community or partner community or customer community, what are some of your, like, you know, you've got a lot of experience in this. What's one thing that you would say, this is a must do? This is the clear strategy from the beginning.
That was a transformation that we went through over time, actually with, you know, significantly with yours and Rachel and the rest of the CR team's help, Jim, was, you know, community is nice and people will see it as a nice to have. And, you know, people who are community minded and work in online collaboration get very excited about your own numbers. And the thing is, your own numbers don't necessarily resonate with other people. So the one thing that I drive in all the time to executives that I work with or other people is the need to get to business outcomes, whatever that may be. And a business outcome for your CTO is going to be different than your CFO, is going to be different than your head of sales. And so, you know, it's all well and good to say that you can deliver a business outcome, but having a portfolio of examples or wins from other companies that are like yours, from your own trials and tribulations, having that deck on hand to be able to play the cards out as the conversation goes, and then be able to demonstrate how you get and measure that return. So not necessarily ROI.